For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show with me, Tim Fuel, back with another week's helping of the wonderful world we call Non-League. Unfortunately, I was hoping to be joined by Mr. Dave Anderson so he could tell us all about his exploits on the golf course, but also in his other podcast, the Non-League Gaffer Tapes, which is now available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all good podcast aggregation sites, of course. But unfortunately, he isn't with me. So I will welcome back Dave, hopefully next week. It's been a few weeks. But in the meantime, I can tell you all about the Non-League Gaffer Tapes. First episode out with Steve McKim. Now, we gave you a preview of some of that a few weeks back. Here's just another little snippet from that full episode, 30 minutes to listen for your delectation. Just look up the Non-League Gaffer Tapes and you'll find it on your podcast sites. But just an insight into what it's actually like being a manager and having to balance what's best for the clubs and best for your players.
There's an open door at any time.
All the time, mate. I've done a lot of things what people don't know about over the last two or three
Tell
years.
Tell us some of them, man.
Well, you got things about babies not being well. Yeah. Well, don't come in. I don't want to see you. You know, and I'll say that. When Sonny Miles's baby was born, there was a few complications. Beautiful little girl now. But I don't want to see you. This was pre-season. I don't want to see you. He came back after pre-season and he wasn't as fit as he could have been, but his baby was fine.
Brilliant.
And I don't want to see players when they've got family issues, because yes, they get paid by the football club. They're not doing it and making up excuses to shirk responsibility. They've got a genuine problem and I'll always be there to speak to them and help them, you know.
So that's Steve McKim on episode one of the new Non-League Gaffer Tapes, which you can find on all good podcast sites. As I say, I'm here alone in the studio again this week, but still a couple of guests to speak to about how life's going with their clubs, and also a roundup from David Richardson at the Non-League paper. So plenty to get through, plenty to keep you entertained. Please stay with us and enjoy. So let's start this week with a manager no stranger to this show and no stranger to his club. After promotion from Southern League South last term, his side have impressed in the National South, currently sitting second in the table. So impressive have they been that the manager and our next guest was this week handed an 18-month extension to his contract to keep him at the club until the end of 2019-20. To tell us more, welcome back to the show, Mr. Mark Molesey, manager at Weymouth.
Hello there, good evening. Yeah, thanks for having us back on again.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on, Mark. We spoke last season, I think, just as you had the title in your sights and you stalled a little bit, but still wrapped up top spot and promotion quite early. Do you think that extra thinking time and preparation for step two maybe played a part in your good start now that you're there?
No, I don't think we were never edging our bets at all. Like you said, we put ourselves into a good position last year and we just sort of stumbled over the line a little bit at the end. But we done it in a little bit more fun fashion. I think we wanted to win it at in the last game of the season at home in front of our crowd. So it was ever so well planned by us, I must admit.
You just had the party in your sights, is that what it was all about?
Exactly, yeah. I think it was a bit more of an exciting end, but no, it was a tough league last year. It tested you. I mean, at one point we were right out of the title race, you know, and we finished at a canter and virtually got our heads over the line, and then the last bit we just stumbled a little bit. But true credit to the lads, when the pressure was really on, they delivered. So it was a great season for us.
Yeah, and I mentioned that 18-month extension to your contract. And any targets or expectations come with that?
No, I think it's just continue the hard work. I think that, you know, I'm very fortunate. I've got a great board of directors around us and a great staff. And I think we're all singing from the same song sheet. I think everyone's worked so tirelessly to take the club to where it is now, but that, you know, we all want more. We want to keep improving, and that's both on the pitch and off the pitch. It's been a a big project, one that we've enjoyed, but you know, the work's only half done at the moment.
Yeah, and you've been in charge there since, I think, is it April 2017, which in managerial terms, considering the various choppings and changes that we speak about every week, you're almost like a veteran at a club nowadays. Does that mean that you've got the setup how you'd like it? So, you know, you've got different avenues for bringing players in and that sort of thing. Are you happy with the way that the club runs from a manager's point of view?
Look, we're happy the way it's gone and the way it's going, but we're never satisfied. We're always looking to continue to look to improve, and I think that's the excitement of the job. We still feel that there's plenty of potential and plenty of area for growth, but you know, we're all impatient and we want it as quick as we can. But you know, we have to put the building blocks in and solid foundations. This club isn't built on a rich money man or anything like that. It's built on what we managed to make, and that's like with our great fan base coming out to see us, and us just trying to be, you know, trying to get better commercially and more entrepreneurial around the club to bring in other streams of revenue. So we're growing all the time, and that's, like I said, on the pitch and off the pitch. But you know, I'm ultimately in charge of trying to take the club forward on the pitch. And it goes hand in hand. If we do well on the pitch, then it's a lot easier to sell off the pitch as well. So, you know, we've got to keep our feet firmly on the floor, keep working hard, and continue to try and improve the football club.
Yeah. So you're in. You're looking how things are at the moment. You're in with a shout there of promotion again. The momentum of success, it so often, you know, drives you forward, and you know, a double promotion or something like that. I mean, Weymouth are a big club, but they've been there before in the National League. But is the club ready for National League football if you get promoted this season?
Look, we don't look too far ahead. We've got to look at, you know, one game at a time. This is a very tough league, and we got to remember we are the new kids on the block. There's a lot of experienced teams, a lot of experienced management out there, and every game is a tough challenge. You know, there's no easy game in this league. So we can't think too far ahead. I think we've probably surprised a few this season already to how we've started life. I don't think we were predicted outside of our walls to be where we are at the moment. But, you know, with that start, that we, you know, it's been a relatively good start for us, I suppose. But with that becomes a little bit more tension. People are taking us maybe a little bit more seriously now, so it's only going to get tougher. This league isn't going to get any easier for us. It's only going to get tougher, so we've got to continue to improve to keep up the pace. But we're enjoying life at the moment in here. We're enjoying the challenges that it presents, and you know, like I said, we've just got to continue to strive to keep trying to improve.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the table there at National South. You got Willstone on top, 6 points clear, and a game in hand over yourselves and Slough. You've played 18 games, won 9, but drawn 7. So you've only lost 2, which is, you know, less than any other club in the division. So it looks like, you know, you are doing well. You've had a great start to the season. But are those good draws or disappointing draws?
It's a tough one. It's definitely an area where we're probably looking at and thinking there's definitely some points dropped in there. You know, there's not too many performances where I can look at the lads this season and say we come up short. You know, a couple of them draws I felt were probably poor performances from ourselves. But other than that, the other draws, I generally feel we had a real good stake to claim the game. But, you know, you can't underestimate the importance of a point, especially on your travels. A lot of them are away. As long as we continue to keep our good home form, then away draws aren't so bad. But it's certainly an area we're looking to improve, but there is too many draws, and we could be even sitting even prettier at the moment. But like I said, we can't get ahead of ourselves and underestimate the importance of draws as well. You know, a point's better than nothing, but like I said, we're all greedy at the same time. You know, it is an area where we're looking to improve.
Yeah, and now I love the fact that I get to speak to non-league managers, people involved in non-league game, while they're running from their day job to their non-league job. And I know I've managed to catch you between jobs, shall we say, but only for a short number of minutes. We spoke about your role in your day job in the youth setup at Bournemouth before, and obviously they're a club that are successful at the moment. They're enjoying life at the top. Do you think some of that rubs off on you in your role when you then go on to Weymouth?
I think it's, I'm so fortunate to be able to be in the football club that surrounded by great people. And I think, I like to think that some of it's rubbing off on me. Instead, there's so many good people there. And I just want to do them justice as well, because I am in a great environment and I'm learning so much. And, I like to think that I'm taking that experience with me and taking it into Weymouth. But I suppose only time will tell how I'm doing with that. But what I can say is I'm very fortunate to be surrounded by so many good people. And like I said, hopefully that rubs off on me at Weymouth.
Yeah, and as you climb higher as a club at Weymouth and involvement there, is the link with a pro club more useful? Maybe easier to arrange loans that are meaningful to all sides?
Definitely. Don't get me wrong. The relationship is strong between Weymouth and Bournemouth. We've always managed to enjoy some very good loans from Bournemouth, but they're players that I work with myself and I know will play the way that we like to play at Weymouth. Like I said, a lot of it is their first baptism in men's football, so it's a good learning ground for the players as well. So hopefully it's a win-win that the lads from Bournemouth get some much-needed experience and we get some very good young players who fit in seamlessly with the way we like to play the game at Weymouth.
Yeah, so looking ahead to what's before you? You've got an away game at Dorking Wanderers this weekend, and another side who also got promoted last term. And you say about how competitive this league is. They are up there again, aiming for the playoffs. So, yeah, there's some big name sides that are mid table that will get a boost on before Christmas. Mm. I mean, do you just take every game as it comes and just want to play your game, and then maybe come March time you'll then start looking at the table and considering what you need to do if there's any additional push you need to make?
Yeah, definitely. It sounds boring, but it is the old saying that we do take each game as it comes. You can't look further ahead than the next game. We try and press and organise ourselves the best we can and be as professional as we can, but we're working on part-time hours with the players, and this stage of the season is always a difficult one with plenty of fixtures, lots of away travel, and they've got their work to contend with, lots of injuries and illnesses going around, and there's a lot to contend with in non-league football, and this is where the lads really, part-time footballers really earn their money, I think, because they running two jobs at this time of year is always difficult. But what I can say is our lads have been fantastic. Their professional attitude and their open-mindedness and willingness to improve all the time is what's got us so far, got us where we are so far. So it's just a case of keeping the boys motivated, and hopefully we get lucky with it with our injuries. And we see how far it takes us and just keep constantly reassessing the situation. But as I said, we're enjoying the challenges that this league brings at the moment, and hopefully challenges and it's bringing out the best in it.
Yeah, trophy next weekend away at Barnet, and then a busy Christmas period. You got your Boxing Day, your South Coast Derby with Havant at Waterlooville, and home games against St Albans and Oxford City before that return Havant game. Actually, it's quite a minimal amount of travelling, particularly considering the amount of travelling you have to do. Is that a positive thing when there are so many other pressures on players at this time of year with work, family and everything like that?
Yeah, without a doubt, the travel is the challenge for us in this league, and we have to make the most miles in the league, I think it is, this year. But we look at that as a positive as well, that other teams have got to travel to us, so it does work the other way, so it certainly isn't an excuse for our part. But around Christmas, it's more than I have to admit. But it just, like I said, the challenges keep rolling out in this league. This week we're going to learn a lot about ourselves. We've got three really tough away travels in a row. Like I said, we've got Dorking away on AstroTurf on the Saturday. Then we're away at Hemel, which is a new game on Tuesday night. We go to Barnet in the FA Trophy on the Saturday. So, our resolve, and we're going to be tested to the limits this week. And we'll know a little bit more about ourselves come the end of next week. But, like I said, it's just another hurdle in front of us, one we're keen to get over.
And one that it sounds like you're enjoying as well. Sometimes managers make that next step up, and then the pressure becomes a bit too much for them. But it sounds like you're really relishing being up at this next level and the challenge that comes with it.
We all are, and like I said, I'm completely lucky with the group of players that I've got within the group of players. They motivate me every day. You know, I look forward to going in and working with them because it's such a great group. But most importantly, my staff around me are fantastic. You know, a real great work ethic and similar desire and vision as myself. So, we all push each other along. We're all enjoying it, and we're all hungry for more. But like I said, it's just managing everyone's expectations, but also trying to push through the limits as well. It's in that happy balance.
Well, Mark, I thank you for joining us again on the Non-League Football Show. Your phone's breaking up a little bit there, so I better go and let you change your tracksuits, and I guess in this weather, change your bobble hat so you can go off to training at Weymouth. But best of luck for the rest of the season, and look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Thanks ever so much. Thank you.
So let's speak with another manager. This time somebody new in the job at this particular club, but not new to the managerial world. He's been in charge at Oldham Athletic, FC Halifax Town, and during his time at Hyde United, our next guest was relegated, left the club and was back within a month, and led them to a televised FA Cup first round tie against MK Dons and promotion back to the Northern Premier. In the summer, he moved upstairs to a sporting director role with Dave McGurk taking over as first team boss, and by November, he departed the club. Never away from football long, though. One of his former clubs as a player came a-calling, and just a week or so ago, I'm pleased to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, Darren Kelly, manager at Scarborough Athletic.
Hello, good evening.
It's a good evening. You're happy, Darren, but before we started recording here, you're telling me about... Well, the standard hassles I get to hear from managers up and down the country. It's the world of non-league is never easy, is it?
You know, it's not. Effectively, you have a full-time job, but within even that job, you're trying to do things. I think even at this level, it's a job that is 24/7, literally, because you're forever, you play a game on a Saturday, you're reflecting upon it on a Saturday night. It doesn't leave you on a Sunday. And the Monday, you're starting to think about the Saturday or the Tuesday. You're starting to put things into place. You're starting to think about personnel. You have to deal with physios, your staff, player issues, recruitment. You know, if you have to bring one or two players in, it literally goes on all week. But do you know what? I love it. I love it. It's great to be back in. And again, you know, that buzz for it where, you know, there's a great challenge ahead versus Scarborough and one I totally embrace.
And before we'll move on to Scarborough in a minute, but we've got to talk a little bit about Hyde. And I know, you know, Dave Anderson was hoping to be in the studio with us, and this is the question that he would have asked. I've got to ask on his behalf. Yeah. You moved upstairs, and I know Dave hates this director of football role, and he just asked you, why did you do that?
For a number of reasons, really. I've been at Hyde 4 years, well, 3.5 years at the time. Our CEO had very tragically had died, which shocked me. He was a very good friend of mine. It was one of those situations where I'm currently doing a master's in the role, effectively, as director of football. So I thought I would move upstairs. You know, Dave McGurk was very keen to be a manager. So I thought it was a good time for a good change. I wanted to take on the mantle of overseeing the football operations, seeing Dave into that role, because I knew he would be very good at it, which he is. And it gave me an opportunity to see the football side of it from a different perspective. I've done that role. I enjoyed that role. But it all came down to, you know, I have a full-time job, I have a young family, I live in York. So for the last 4 years, I've been making that commute effectively, you know, it's a 200-mile round trip. And as I say, I have a young family who, you know, my youngest is 16 months. middle one 6 year old and a 10 year old. So the opportunity, you know, came then after it sort of resigned to come to Scarborough, which is only 25-30 minutes from my house. So I was able to stay at local, and it gives me the opportunity to pursue what I love dearly, and that's non-league football.
And this is let's let the listeners into a bit of a secret. This is a man that has now made the move because he's nearer home, so he can spend more time with his young family. It's 10:30 on a Thursday night, and he's on his way home now.
Yeah, well, there's a bit of a story behind that, because the venue that we usually train, which I, funny enough, work at as well, they've had floodlight failure all week. So we've had to get a venue, and the only one we could get was probably about 25 minutes from my house, and it's 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock. But again, it's a one-off, so the kids will be in bed anyway. And the thing about it was that I was able to get home from work at 5:30, put the kids to bed, do everything, and come out for training. So, you know, I had that opportunity. See, if I was at high, I wouldn't have that opportunity. You know, I was able to get home, see the kids, see the family, put them to bed, sound asleep, get in the car, go training, and I'm just on my way home now. So, yeah, I love it.
We can sense that you love it. It's in your voice. We can hear that.
Yeah.
And talking about opportunity, and obviously, you know, floodlight issues aside, I mean, you played for Scarborough at the end of your career when they were playing their games at Bridlington. But now, obviously, they're at the Flamingo Land Stadium. I mean, was that a big part of the appeal for this job? You know, the it's a big club and it's on its way back up.
Absolutely. You know, one of the reasons, again, is it's very short distance to where I live. The potential of the club, there's a lot of hard work that needs to be done. There's absolutely no doubt about that. You know, when I went in and, you know, you see everything, and, you know, I have to put my stamp on it. I think it'll be more in the season before I can fully put my stamp on it. And I'm, again, just enjoying everything now in regards to seeing, you know, getting to know the supporters, getting to know the players, see the challenges, fix everything sort of from a manager's point that I can, and try and, you know, be successful along this little journey until the end of the season. And then I believe then we can really take it on a notch. You know, I think everything will be in place by then. Hopefully we can have the success within that time, because I find the league is very tight this year. You look at even teams who are, you know, are bottom four, probably not so much the like of your bottom one or two because of the points, but it's so tight. A couple of wins and you're throwing yourself right back in the mix. And it's the same situation with ourselves. You know, we were down there, we get a great win on Saturday. You know, if you go and get a good win in Saturday, this Saturday coming up, you know what, you're throwing yourselves in with a good chance. And the good thing then, you're breeding confidence through that, and the players are excelling, and you're just hoping then we can go on a nice little run, because if you do that, you stay injury free, players are on form, you have a half decent chance.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that table, and you're right, it is very tight, and you know, you're literally one win off the playoffs, and we all know, you know, once your players get a sniff of the playoffs, suddenly you can get an extra 10-15% out of them. You mentioned that great win at the weekend. I mean, that was a local derby against Whitby Town. I mean, what did you sense anything special from the fans on the day? You know, you're coming back to a club that you played at, and then a win in a local derby.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're writing your autobiography, that's got to be another chapter already there, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, again, coming into the club, and it can always happen with a manager, you know, where the players are motivated again, or they want to play for the manager to show how good they are. I came into the job, as I say, Monday. My first game was Tuesday against Staithes, and bear in mind the last six games we'd lost. So, irrespective of who you're playing, we played in a sort of county cup in the the Tuesday, and we won 7-0. It was a great result. We changed. I spoke to the coaching staff before the game in regards to formation to change it to, and we did that. And the players, I felt, excelled at it. And then we've done it Saturday against, I think, a very good Whitby side, good management team, good people, good players. And I thought we were exceptional. I thought we were absolutely exceptional. And, you know, the work ethic of the players, that's the one thing you can demand. That's a given, that you must go out and work hard. You're hoping the quality will come with it. And that's what the players did Saturday. They give every inch of everything that they could to get the win. And they've done that. The supporters encouraged, helped and supported them through that. They give them every inch of everything as well. And collectively then, as a football club, you know, we would go on and get a fantastic 3 points in front of a fantastic crowd. There was nearly 1,500. Now, for this level to get that, you know, is absolutely brilliant in itself. And to get the win against your nearest rivals, especially when you haven't beaten them in 3 years, was just a perfect day. So, you know, the important thing is now is that we can, you know, forget that, but not forget, you know, the good things we've done and the confidence we've taken from the game, and we put it into Saturday's game. And I've no doubt if we perform the same way we did on Saturday, we'll get the 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, this Saturday, you mentioned that as another tough trip you've got ahead of you there to Gainsborough Trinity, who also have a fairly new boss in Curtis Woodhouse, who's no stranger to this show, or indeed yourself, I believe. But it's going to be a meeting of minds as well as a meeting of players on the field.
Yeah, well, you know, Curtis has just come in, great guy, and again, a good footballing guy as well. So, Curtis is probably similar. It's probably going to take, obviously, a bit of time for him to stamp his authority on the team like he wants to. And like everything, you know, Curtis will focus on Gainsborough, I'll focus on Scarborough. I know what we need to do. I'm very articulate and very thorough in terms of my information, in terms of the authority, what I like to give the players, and you know, as I said, very thorough. I think it's very professional, and there's a lot of work done off the field to prepare for each game. And same thing, Gainsborough and Saturday, we'll go through everything we need to do and just let the players go and express themselves. I think we're quite motivational people, myself and Curtis, who we like to get the players up, going and ready. I don't think I need to do that Saturday, because I think last Saturday gave them that motivation to really take into this game, and it's just a matter of encouraging them on that way. And I think, as I say, if they do that and Saturday and put in the quality along with the hard work, it'll be very difficult to beat us. It'll be very difficult to beat us, you know.
I must say, I mean, normally we speak to new managers that have come into clubs, and the first thing they're talking about is having to bring in new players so they can bring in their own philosophy, or players that work to their systems, or even, you know, just players aren't up to the fitness. You seem very positive about the players you've inherited. And I see you've appointed a new captain as well, with Michael Coulson there. Was that an important part of your jigsaw in sort of making the club yours?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a blank sheet. I think it should be, you know, as you go in as manager, like with everything in the club that you can control, you go in with effectively a blank, it's a blank sheet, you know, start again, prove and, you know, make the point of why you should be in the team or whatever it may be. But, you know, it's important you make your statement. And I watched Scarborough a couple of times, you know, in the season. And as I say, there was a couple of question marks. I don't know about him or whatever. And, you know, then you go into last week's game and everybody performed. You know, that at the end of the day, you're giving them that pedestal to go and perform and show that, you know, the manager doesn't need to bring anyone in. And as I say, after Saturday, it would have been very wrong and harsh for me to change the team Saturday. It would have been very harsh. And everybody, as I say, it started very well. It could change after Saturday because, you know, you're still watching players and you know you're looking for the consistency in the performance. And if they keep consistently performing like they did Saturday, I don't need to change anything until the end of the season. But it's a big challenge to do that. So it's up to the players to effectively keep the shirt. And in regards to Michael Coulson, I know how, you know, what I need to do with Michael in regards to, he's a fantastic player, one of the best players in the league. But for me, I like seeing him in a 10, where it can affect the game. He, again, was brilliant Saturday. He affected the game so well, especially in that central area. He nearly scored an absolute worldie from 30 yards because he has it in the locker. He has the ability to do that. So, yeah, as I say, it was a breath of fresh air to watch on Saturday, and I've no doubt he'll be up and ready for it again this Saturday.
Well, talking of breath of fresh air, Darren, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I just love the positivity. I'm now wishing that I'd sent up some microphones to record both yours and Curtis's pre-match talks, because they're probably probably gold dust.
Mine's a bit better. Gold.
And I'm sure if Mr. Woodhouse was on the line, he'd be just as competitive as ever.
Great guy.
Well, Darren, yeah, thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show once again. Best of luck for the rest of the season, and do stay in touch. Brilliant. And we'll follow and look forward to speaking to you later on in the season.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Take care.
So it's that time of week again to round off the show and head on over to Non-League Paper Towers. Well, not Non-League Paper Towers, because my next guest is actually joining us on his time off. Now, what about dedication for that? Well, it's welcome back to the Non-League Show. Our senior writer at the Non-League Paper, Mr. David Richardson. Welcome back, David.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. And you're fully refreshed from a few days off then, are you?
Yeah. Just had a few days off to sort of rest the old writing thing, I suppose. And sort of refresh out of a busy sort of winter or rather Christmas sort of batch of fixtures.
Yeah, it's one of those, it's a weird weekend almost for us, because we've got no FA Vars, we've got no FA Trophy, and we've got no FA Cup. So it's all about the league this weekend. So it was probably good to come back in refreshed. But we have had plenty of news to talk about in the last week about cups. So why don't we start with that? The FA Cup third round draw, and some interesting bits there. Some news just hitting my email box as well as we're talking. We've obviously got a Boston drawn at home to Newcastle United in the third round of the FA Cup if they beat Rochdale in their replay, which is coming up. Which is, the replay is going to be televised, and then if they get through that game, I see that the winners of that tie will be televised again in the next round. So, I mean, if Boston were to make it through, they not only is it's a great day out for the fans and everybody associated with the club, but the financial benefit is huge.
Yeah, definitely. It's they did really well to force that replay, and now at the very least they've got a sort of really nice tie to look forward to, like you say, on TV as well. I know, Boston have sort of wanted like that nice sort of last maybe hurrah really at their ground, which they'll be moving out of soon. So to have an FA Cup tie like that is great. And again, like you say, should they get through, they'll obviously have a really sort of memorable one to look forward in Newcastle and a Premier League team going there. But that's, again, like what the FA Cup's all about, really. I thought there wasn't sort of too many shocks in the second round as such, but I thought it was sort of a really good weekend nonetheless for non-league clubs. I watched Chichester at Tranmere, where they were 0-0 at half time, and after about sort of 55 minutes, I think it was still 0-0. So they did fantastically well, and also scored a goal, which was really nice for their travelling fans and the club themselves. Obviously, we've got filed through. They won at Kingstonian, and they've got through to the third round. So, and we'll be taking on Sheffield United, who of course lost to Barnet last season. Now a Premier League club, but that's a great sort of tie really to look forward to on a non-league front and for Fylde.
Yeah, and we've also obviously still got Eastleigh, if they can beat Crewe Alexandra, they've potential home tie against Barnsley, and Hartlepool, if they can beat Exeter City in their replay, away at Oxford United, who were obviously I got to know very well earlier in the competition. So there is still plenty of non-league interest in there, and plenty of that non-league magic still to come, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Like you say, I was at that Eastleigh game against Crewe, which was last Saturday evening on TV. And after probably sort of a first half where I think you could see Crewe's class, you know, Eastleigh really sort of got themselves back into it in the second half, got the equaliser that they deserved, and really, you know, had the sort of game, I know it's cliche, they had the game sort of gone on for 5-10 minutes longer, they probably would have won it, because they were really sort of pushing for that winner. And, you know, good to see, you know, a non-league club sort of fighting back like that. You know, obviously it'll be difficult going to their ground and trying to get through, but again, you know, nice sort of cherry really in the third round. And as you say, Hartlepool had a great comeback at Exeter, who I think had a 2-goal lead, didn't they? And Hartlepool brought it back to 2-2, so good stuff there. And yeah, like I say, plenty to look forward still in the competition.
Yeah, and while those clubs were enjoying FA Cup magic last week, there was also some FA Vars magic in the third round of that competition. And obviously we had on the fourth round the draw appearing on Monday, as if by magic. It is one of those things where we almost get notified, you know, just moments in advance of knowing when this draw is going to take place, and then everybody gets very excited and then struggles to try and listen to it. So we're hoping that maybe we can change the way that it's such a big occasion, the draws, I think with the powers that be need to understand that that's how important it is for clubs, fans, and everybody to be able to feel part of that draw, I think, is important. And obviously, yeah. So the draw's thrown up some headlines that are going to be set to be written for those games. I think take place, is it the second week of January? I think the FA Vars fourth round. But there were a few written this week, and you may well not have seen this, having had your feet up. But a third round replay. Now, Malvern Town, already ravaged by injury, and they made the trip to Atherstone Town midweek. They were down to 10 men after a send-off on 7 minutes for a handball on the line. And I think probably by then, they probably realised it wasn't going to be their evening. By the second half, Malvern were then 5-0 down, and an injury to the goalkeeper meant that chairman Chris Pinder had to go in goal because because of that injury, and because they were so short of players. And the game ended up 10-0 to Atherstone Town. I mean, you don't get that in the Premier League. Yeah, well, Amazon Prime or not, you just don't get that.
No, it's sort of one of those stories. I'm a little bit annoyed to have sort of been off in the early part of this week, so it was sort of quite nice to have followed that one up, really. Obviously, it's a shame that they sort of never did get a result, having sort of gone in goal. But no, it's sort of one of those wacky sort of non-league sort of tales, really. I guess that's sort of why we sort of love it, really, isn't it?
It is. Now, it was one of those where I thought, well, shall I try and get Chris on the show? And I'm thinking, he's probably had a bad week as it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be if he's had to play in goal, and you know, it looks like he's had to pick the ball out of the net 5 times as well. If he's anything like me, you're probably struggling to move as well by the end of the week. So we wish Malvern well, and hopefully their injury crisis is behind them, and you know, they can put that result behind them and move on, because we chuckle, but we know that it does affect those people that are involved in those games. But it is why we love non-league, because always get these quirky little bits coming out. And elsewhere, it's been a fairly quiet week, really, on Non-League Newsweek. I don't know if it's maybe because you've been off that, you know, maybe you generate the news. Maybe that's what it is. We normally talk about this managerial merry-go-round, and it's been fairly quiet. I see John Brofford is back in at Cirencester Town, having been away for 3 years. He's stepped back in. And Gary Haywood has moved, I think, from Hensford to Buxton. Buxton had Danny Wilson, you know, a former Premier League manager, standing as manager during the week before that appointment. But it does look like managers are now pretty settled in with their managers. Do you think that's now it for the Christmas period, or do you think there's maybe more to come?
It could be. Obviously, we spoke not too long ago, really, about sort of the managerial changes. I think, yeah, maybe you're sort of at the point now where clubs might have sort of made a change. You know, almost sort of halfway through the season in some divisions. You know, over the Christmas periods, games come thick and fast, and then maybe, you know, once you sort of settle into sort of January, when it's more sort of Saturday to Saturday, maybe then, you know, clubs will reassess things. But no, it's sort of a vital period now, isn't it? I think often a lot of clubs sort of look at a season and think, well, let's see where we are at Christmas and going into the new year, and then we can start sort of planning as to what the target's then going to be, or how it might then change. You know, clubs may find themselves in playoff positions where they perhaps didn't think they'd be, or vice versa, they might be at the bottom where they didn't think they'd be either. So interesting sort of last month of the year.
Yeah, and obviously in the National League, there's still the double B clubs, Barrow and Bromley, up the top there, and one club many probably tipped to be up there, but they were actually rock bottom this week. But a win for Wrexham midweek at Eastleigh appears to have lifted them off the bottom, still in those relegation spots, and that's never a good look for Christmas, is it?
No, I think that was a big concern really when they went rock bottom of the division. Obviously, they've been the National League's longest-serving club, and then suddenly, you know, to be sort of at that ebb, you know, I think it really sort of did come as a shock, really, to sort of everyone at the club. The club obviously released a sort of statement saying how they were apologising to the fans, really, for sort of what had been going on, and you know, they're sort of outlining their plans as to how they're going to turn it around with sort of investment. More investment into the budget and sort of giving Dean Keats the backing to make some sort of additions in January. Obviously, like you say, they then had a sort of really good win at Eastleigh on Tuesday night, where you know, sort of it's quite a difficult sort of place to go, Eastleigh, really, isn't it? All the way down there on the south coast. You know, Ben Strowman's size never sort of give you anything easy. So, like I said, I saw them against Crewe and they played right until the final whistle then and never gave you anything up. So, you know, a 2-0 win is suddenly, you know, in the space of a few days, aren't looking quite so bad. But, you know, I don't think they'll be under sort of any illusions that there's still a lot of hard work to be done there. And, you know, they won't think for 1 minute that, you know, one win might solve all of their problems. So, yeah, a sort of surprise to see them down there at the bottom. You know, I think they will stay up. Obviously, it's likely that given the Bury situation, that only three National League teams will go down. So that sort of gives them sort of another bit of hope, really. But yeah, I would expect them to get out of it, particularly sort of with Dean Keats there and what it's done previously at the club and with the squad that they've got and obviously their intentions that they're going to try and add to that and strengthen at the start of the year.
Yeah, you say lots of hard work still to be done. I guess that includes yourself, David. I guess tomorrow's we're recording this on Thursday evening, so Friday's going to be a busy day for you, making sure that you get some copy in the paper. Anything else that we can expect to read this weekend?
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit out of the loop this week as to quite what's going on. I'll probably be sort of reading most of the paper for the first time tomorrow on Friday, for the first time, really. But no, like you say, obviously no sort of cup action this weekend. So it's sort of a pretty straightforward league programme, I suppose, in terms of all the usual action and reports. I understand you won't be filing one tomorrow, on Saturday, rather.
I won't be filing a match report this weekend, David. But you can, of course, read the non-league show column, which was held over from last week, which will be just in case people needed their fix of me, there will be a little ditty or slightly longer than a ditty, really, from myself. So, but hoping to fill some pages for you.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's been great to have you on board. in the paper, really sort of enjoyed your last comment about sort of the prize money in the FA Cup and sort of the ideas about how clubs should sort of spend that, or rather sort of how they should be given that money. Yeah, so looking forward to your latest musings in Sunday. It should be a good read.
Well, it's always good to see the excitement when you look at your Twitter account first thing on a Sunday morning and see whether it's gone down well or not. But I'll await Sunday morning when I'll probably be nursing a slight hangover, hence why I'm won't be filing a match report this weekend. David, always a pleasure to have you on the Non-League Football Show. Thank you for joining us and have a great weekend.
Brilliant. Thanks for having me on, Tim.
So that's it for this week. A big thank you to all of our guests as ever, and a big thank you to everybody for listening. A reminder that if you like the sound of Mr. Anderson's voice and have missed it again this week, you can join in and hear him also on the Non-League Gaffer Takes podcast, which is available from all your usual suppliers. The link will also be on the Non-League Twitter account at Non-League Show. Don't forget, you can follow throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Dave Anderson is also there at Dave Anderson 78. Caroline Barker at Caroline Barker and myself at Tim Fuel. Plus, of course, you can find this show and the archive of previous shows every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, on Deezer, on TuneIn Radio, via your smart speakers, and, of course, all good podcast aggregation sites. Thank you and goodbye.
Jibber Jabber Production. JIBBA. JABBA.